thrilled to be here today. This is coming home for me. You know, Unity of Lawrence helped nurture me in the infancy of my ministerial journey. And so, and that you always hold that special place in my heart. And thank you, David, for inviting me. But by my spirit, saith the Lord, by my spirit. I don't know about you, but sometimes my time and my days, it gets busy, you know, busy, busy, busy. You're even getting up to come to church. Hurry up. Get up so you can go to work. Get up, go to school. Get the children off. Even come in here, Robin has to get back there and get the sound system going. And Gary has to get going with his instrument, trying to get it all together. And sometimes, even with all of that, sometimes we seem that we miss it. We'll start feeling at times that things are missing. It reminds me of a time I remember being on a bus in Los Angeles. And all of a sudden, as I was looking out the window, it was like seeing a vision. The people just began to move like little soldiers. They were just going and coming. And you understand what I'm saying? And it was almost for a moment, I felt like saying, "Stop the world, God, I want to get off." Because things were just going just so rapidly. And sometimes as we work and we go through our work, and especially in ministry, sometimes I don't know if you all know how difficult it can be, not only to keep yourself straight, because that's the hardest job you've ever had, right? Many times I get in the mirror and I'll say, "Girl, get it together. What are you doing?" You know, I have to talk to myself. But being a spiritual leader on top of it, it's a double duty. And just a while back, I was doing some prayer work about our church over at Unity Southeast. And we've been in a planning phase and regrouping, probably very much like you are. And as I was looking at some things and taking it into meditation, I saw something that really disturbed me as I ended up actually having a vision in meditation. And this was about the children. How do we help the children as we get the format ready, you know, and continue? Because the children are our future, isn't that right? And in the vision, I began to look at what was going on. And unfortunately, the streets here in America, with our children on them in clusters, didn't look any different than it would have looked if I had been in a third world country. The children were like just there. The mentorship was not there for them. It's just, and I'm saying, what do we do? Where do we go as different ones come in into our centers or churches or whatever name suits you? How do we meet the needs of the people? First of all, getting our needs met, and then being something for someone else that they would want to come in and join us also. And as I began to look at this situation, I became overwhelmed, because I must admit, I didn't know the answer. And I still don't know the answer if we start looking at minute details. But what came to me as I was thinking about this was that song Stephanie did. And it comes from scripture. "It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord." And if that being the case, then it really behooves us to listen carefully so we can hear spirit when spirit is talking to us. And not only hear spirit, but to be able to discern to really understand when Spirit is speaking. See, and I kind of go back and get old timey. Some of the students at Unity, they call me Miss Unicostal. coming from that total background, and I tell people, I'm not recovering from anything. Okay? Every place I have been has served me on my spiritual journey. And I give thanks for that. But sometimes I am of a state of mind that says, sometimes I think we get confused when our ego is speaking and when Spirit is speaking. And sometimes when ego is speaking, we want to say that it's Spirit. And sometimes when Spirit is speaking, we don't want to recognize it, and we'll say, oh, that's my ego. You know, we'll get them confused. But when we can really have an ear of discernment and knowing when Spirit is speaking to us, that is the only way we will go forth, first of all, in our own lives, as well as being that light that reflects and brighten the path of someone else. Is that not right?
Amen.
You know, there's a story in Scripture, and again, I'm a Bible girl. There was a story of one of the prophets named Zechariah. And Zechariah had been given the job of prophesying to the Israelites after they had been in their Babylonian captivity. And they had been in Babylon approximately 100 years. Now think about this. Being in Babylon, the generation that went in had died out. So there was no one really to tell the old stories. You know, remember when he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." And he said, teach this to your children. Teach it to them when they get up in the morning. Teach it to them when they go out into the fields. Teach it to them as they come in and lay down at night. The Lord thy God is one. And so this relationship that had been built between Yahweh or Jehovah and the children of Israel, that's what it was about. It was about a relationship. And so the generation that was now coming out of captivity did not have that basic foundational teaching. Do you hear where I'm going? And so here they are being a part of a people, but yet not knowing their history, not knowing from whence they had come, not knowing a lot of things, because being in Babylon, remember, their teachings had become polluted. Think about it here, because that admonition that they had heard, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is exactly what had happened. They had been taken into a strange land and dwelt among people that they didn't know, and customs that they were not familiar with. And then you take that, and now here someone has been given a charge to go back to the place from whence you came, or your foreparents came 100 years ago. And remember, that place is not the same either, because the same thing has happened at home that happened in captivity. Those that stayed have now been infiltrated with a polluting of teachings, per se. The reason why we get the so-called teachings of the Samaritans that were not accepted, because the Samaritans, they were the ones that was a result of the intermarrying that had taken place when the people came in. And so here's Zechariah with the charge. Can you imagine? Here's what he leaves behind him, and here is what he's going home to, and he's being told, rebuild. rebuild that temple. And as I was thinking about this, I was telling my church that, you know, Spirit really doesn't care whether we're in this sanctuary or not. Remember the song said, I'll build my temple in you? The temple that we are building is this temple. It's within each and every one of us. And the only purpose, basically, this place serves is it's a means to an end. It gives us an opportunity to come together, to work with one another, to focus, to become of one mind on different tasks. The same thing in our families. Families are a unit that teaches us how to work together, how to build that which we desire. Anywhere we go, on the job, the responsibility is that like minds have come together trying to build something. There is a focus. So here again, just as they had to focus to get that second temple built after the first one had been destroyed, so we must keep our focus on the building and the edification of this temple. We must be aware of what we're focusing on, what we are keeping our minds on. And so when Zechariah the prophet was speaking to the people, he began to see a series of visions. And in one particular vision, he was told to tell the leader, whose name was Zerubbabel. He was told, tell him, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. This is basically the prophecy that he gave to Zerubbabel. He says, then he said to me, this is God's message to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed. And I'm going to say that again. We need to hear that more. You will succeed because of my spirit. Though you are few and may even appear to have some weaknesses, you will succeed. He said, therefore, no mountain, however high, can stand before Zerubbabel, for it will be flattened out before him, and Zerubbabel will finish building this temple with mighty shouts of thanksgiving for God's mercy, declaring that all was done by grace alone. Now, if we look at that story, and many times, you know, we forget that the Bible is the story of our evolving consciousness, because we are spiritual beings having a human experience, aren't we? And many are still looking at the Bible today and they're thinking that this doesn't relate to me at all. But if we would look and remember that our Bible is filled with archetypes, not only our scripture, but all of the Holy Writ. I just happen to be in tune with the Bible because that's what I cut my teeth on. Okay? And I don't try to put it aside because it has done too well by me. So I stick with that. But Zerubbabel's name is important. And many times if we go back and use our metaphysics, Zerubbabel referred to that which was born in captivity. In Babel, remember the place of confusion. This is what Zerubbabel meant. But notice what the scripture is saying, that the mountain shall be flattened in front of him. Why? Because of the Spirit of God. And so we have to understand that if we put our trust and our confidence in the right place, and I say that from the standpoint that even as being the loyal, true students that we are, isn't it so easy to forget? Sometimes we do. With everything that's going on, with the busyness and all of the things that come in to claim of our attention, we forget. And when we forget, that's when those moments of despair, and we go into that, what am I going to do? Because the chores seem so gigantic as they stand before us. And let's face it, we create a lot of stuff too, don't we? We create some messes and then say, get me out, God. But what's so wonderful about that, I don't know about you, but I have come out of many of my messes with the most precious golden nuggets. Golden nuggets that teach me, that uplift me, that remind me of who I am, and it reminds me of whose I am. So as Zerubbabel has this enormous task in front of him, he is told, don't worry. This is in, put it in God's hand. Put it in the hands of Spirit. So how do we do that? By each and every day, each and every moment, remembering, let's start everything we do with God. Finish it with God. Get up in the morning with your mind. Focus on your source. Realizing that it is from the source. Yes, we can weave around and we make our mistakes and we blunder and we trip and we fall, and that's fine. But guess what? Some of those blunders that we have made, we should start remembering. We should start remembering. You know how when those flags start going up? Saying, don't go that way. Don't do that. Don't go on your own. Don't start thinking you know it all. Give it to God, because that's where our guidance and direction. Now, Zechariah, the prophet himself in Hebrew means Jehovah has penetrated or remember. Think about that. You ever have that time in your life when it has seemed barren? And you felt that you were just in it all along? But then that reminder came. Something happened where you knew, you got your confirmation that Spirit is alive, expressing as me. I am not alone. And this is the greatest comfort one can receive in the world. I know you've been in that places where you said, this might not be looking too good, but I know whose I am. I know who I am. And in that knowing, I remembered, as you said, the invocation this morning, there is only what? One, yes, one presence, one power. And so if we keep that at hand, that thought, so that when the confusion comes in, when the things that will cause us to lose being settled, when we lose that sense of comfort, to remember there is only one presence and one power. And if we would learn and remember to speak that word to ourselves, to speak that truth, not only to speak it, but to know it, feel it, let it resonate in within your body. You know, since I've seen you all last, I went through a time that I really didn't know whether I was even going to be here or not. And Stephanie was with me, bless her heart. She spent every night right there at the hospital, right by my bed. But one of the things that I found that happened for certain that just really kept me going, it just really didn't make me any difference. I was at peace. I remember that so well when I was just, weak as water. But I was at peace because I knew the truth that God is right where I am. If I'm in this bed, God is here. Whatever is going on, God is right with me, within me, dwelling as me, expressing, carrying me through this whole experience. And that comforted me. And that's what we want. We want what we believe and our truth to be so real that we feed and that we thrive off of it, that we nurture. That's what brings our people in here. When they see something going on with us, people will begin to ask questions. What's happening with you? I see, you know, they're upbeat all the time. What is it about them? What sustains you? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. If we could just remember that, don't let anything take its place, because all of these other things, they perish. We were not promised anything eternal in the physical sense. That's where the sense consciousness will fool us. But in the consciousness of God, what we refer to as the Christ consciousness, the reflection of Christ in all, through all, as all. That is our strength. That is our mainstay. That's the everlasting truth that never changes. So let's be careful what we build on. Let's be careful of what we take to heart and what we hook our lives into. You ever notice that mountain climber when he's going up? And sometimes I watch them, and I would never do it myself, but I've watched it well. But I notice he takes that hook and he throws it up and finds something solid. And then finding that solid anchor, the climber pulls up. And it's the same way with us. That's how we stay afloat, is to make sure that we have that anchor in truth. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Stephanie and I were talking on the way here, and I found myself saying to her that things are changing. Things are changing to such a degree. And I have 6 children, so I'm not trying to tell my children I know all the answers, because I don't. I look at the grandchildren and they seem strange because they're doing a lot of stuff that's just very different than the world that I have been accustomed to. But what I'm learning is that rather than being just upset and upheaval. Again, I'm saying, not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit, God. Talk to me, teach me, show me which way to go. Give me wisdom, understanding. And without that, I don't know about you, but that is the only sail I have, and it's a good one. So I will hold on to that. So we have to keep in our minds that not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. And in doing that, one thing we have to keep in mind, and that's being humble. Being humble with one another. Being loving. Cherishing each other. Value each other. forgive one another. First of all, forgiving ourselves. We can be very difficult on ourselves. You just, because you want it just tight. And I don't know, David and I were talking this morning, and I was telling him that I can hear my mother's voice to this day. Gloria Jean, if you're going to do it right. I learned to leave the perfectionism alone, but what I will do is give it all I've got. And when I give it all I have, if that human element comes in, it's okay, because I know I have given it my best. So each one of us, as we look, let us truly learn to behold the Christ in one another. Somebody once said that you'll never see any more of God than you see in your fellow man. And that's the God-given truth. You'll never see any more of God than what we see in one another. I'm a big Edgar Cayce fan. And for those of you that know who Edgar Cayce is, in looking at some of his readings, I have thought about things that have stayed with me ever since I read the statement. And one of the things he said was, and we know that heaven is a state of consciousness, it's not a place, but even then he said, you will never get to heaven any faster than the person that's leaning on your shoulder. And for me, that has been powerful, because it takes us back to our oneness. Takes us back to our oneness. Notice that with Zerubbabel doing his work, not only would we have the historical thing of a temple being rebuilt, but we had a twofold thing being accomplished, because he was being raised up also. So whatever we go to do, the work that we do, we apply ourselves, we help ourselves through what we are involved in. If we take it just as that, when that mirror comes up and we see the reflection, let's not flinch or duck or wonder, I've got to get away from this. But let's look at it for all it's worth and say, ooh, I've looked and I've said, that doesn't look too good. Don't like what I see. But then I've had it to come up again. And I've also been able to say, much better. Much better. You know when you have improved. I know I do. And I know when I'm going three steps backwards too. So let's keep it in mind, folks, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. One of the last things that I want to share with you, that in doing this, remember, keep praise in your mouth. Talk about the goodness of God. Think on the goodness of God. Because when you are thinking about the goodness and saying thank you, I guarantee you, you have never seen the floodgates open up, because it's something about giving that praise and saying thank you. It's like it puts you in the current of the stream. And when you find the current, it'll just take you. Notice you don't have to struggle. It will just take you. Just wherever that water is moving to, that's what you're going. And that's what you want to find, isn't it? The current of life. We talk about being happy. We talk about being fulfilled. That's what it is. Get in the flow and live in it. And by remembering to give thanks, when we look at all the things that we have to be thankful and grateful for, it keeps us in attunement. So let us affirm by the Spirit of God, the works of my hands are blessed and blessed and blessed. By the Spirit of God, the works of my hands are blessed and blessed and blessed. Come on, say that with me. By the Spirit of God, the works of my hands are blessed and blessed and blessed. And to that we add, by the Spirit of God, the works of our hands are blessed and blessed and blessed. Together, by the Spirit of God, the works of our hands are blessed and blessed and blessed. And for this, we say thank you, God. Namaste.